Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday, the 12th of January, 2023. Happy to have you on Power Hour number 3 here on the big program, along with our engineer and producer, Mr. Eric Zommers, for hour number 3. Should be a good show here at number 3 as we have one of our favorite guests recurring. She is back. Going to be back with us every other week. And she's a busy woman. She travels around the world. But she's going to be with us on the regular every other Thursday. That's Kira Sabin, life coach extraordinaire, all-around great person, love guru to the stars, Kira Sabin. She will be here to talk about intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation and what motivates each and every one of us. Coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. Weather forecast around the state of Wisconsin for you. Richland Center today, a chance of flurries, a high of 33. Tonight, a low of 22, more flurries. And tomorrow, sunny, a high of 28 degrees. Up in beautiful Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radioland. Today, a chance of flurries, a high of 32. More flurries tonight, a low of 19. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 26. Over in Lake Air Radioland, WXCE, Amory. Today, expect cloudy skies, a high of 28, but temperatures will fall throughout the day. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 5. And tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 21 in Amory. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads, that's where our motto is here on the show. And breaking news to that effect at this hour, both CBS News and also CNN reporting, President Joe Biden's aides located documents with classified markings at two locations inside his home in Wilmington, Delaware. The White House Counsel Office said in a statement today, the documents were located in a storage area in the garage and then an adjacent room, the statement reads. Biden took questions on the statement following remarks on the economy this morning. And by the way, this just, I mean, his aides have to be going crazy. Because the news of the economy is good on inflation. But instead, he has to talk about this. When asked by reporters what he was thinking by keeping classified documents in his garage, he said, quote, next to the Corvette. Biden said, quote, my Corvette's in a locked garage, okay? So it's not like they're sitting on the street. These classified documents, I'm not sure if they're just sitting in a box next to the Corvette in Biden's house. I just don't get it. Says the documents were located following a search of the president's homes in Wilmington and Roboth Beach, Delaware. No classified documents were located at Roboth, the statement says. The documents were found among personal and political papers. Lawyers for Biden concluded their review of the Delaware homes on Wednesday evening. Quote, as was done in the case of the Penn Biden Center, the Department of Justice was immediately notified, and the lawyers arranged for the Department of Justice to take possession of these documents, the statement reads.
And we do have a little clip of President Biden talking about the situation.
All right.
People know I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said we're cooperating fully and completely with the Justice Department's review.
There you go. And, you know, and for now, I'll continue to maintain, although it's looking more similar as the days progress, I do think there is still a difference between, as Biden is finding these things, where his staff is, they're calling up the Justice Department, they're calling up the National Archives saying, come get this here, look around. Being transparent.
It's also like still even with this, I cannot imagine it's more than like 25 documents as opposed to 300 plus just right. Of the ones that were found.
We know that there were 10 found at the Penn Biden Center before, 10. We don't know how many exactly, but it would appear fewer. But I think it goes back to, for most folks, whether it's Biden or whether it's Trump, I mean, how careless are these people being with classified documents?
Yeah, even if it is, you know, only 10 and not 300, it's still inexcusable.
I mean, it's classified documents. And again, I don't want to get too deep into the woods or pawn myself off as an expert on classified documents, but having worked for a United States congressman and having worked in military affairs, you know, I never had like top secret clearance or anything, but I was aware of these kinds of documents. I was aware of the classification of documents. And there are some things that are declared secret or classified that really don't amount to a whole lot, to be honest. But once it goes up into top secret and beyond, then you're talking about some significant things. But I don't get why these two guys, Trump and Biden, are just so willy-nilly with classified documents. Now, in Trump's case, it appears it was much more intentional and had other people come in to look at them and may have sold secrets and gotten money off of it. In this case with Biden, it appears, keyword appears, we'll find out later, that it was just kind of, you know, carelessness. He was looking through stuff and he threw them in a box and he kind of, and they're sitting next to his Corvette. And I love how Biden says, look, they're next to my Corvette, okay? It was locked up. It's not like they're sitting out in the street. Because, I mean, anybody who knows Joe Biden, he does take care of his Corvette. So that may have been a better place for national documents than at Mar-a-Lago.
Anyway, I mean, I would say definitely,
that's the breaking news at this hour. We're going to turn things, going to turn the page a little bit, invite our friend, the wonderful and talented Kira Sabin, in talking about motivation next. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little respect. That's what we always want, each and every one of us. And our next guest deserves more than a little. She deserves a lot of respect. Life coach, positivity psychologist extraordinaire, and love guru to the stars, Kira Sabin joins us once again. Kira, happy new year, and how the heck are you?
I mean, I'm good. It's Wisconsin in January.
But not as bad as it could be.
Not as bad as it could be. I would like to see some sun again someday.
Right?
Now, right? You know.
How do you feel about that? I say I would rather have it be 5 degrees and 6 inches of snow and sunny than this stuff.
100%.
Yeah.
I could not agree more. It's not the cold that bothers me. Mm-hmm. It's not the snow that bothers me. Luckily, because I'm not out driving in it.
Right.
It's the lack of sun that really starts to wah.
I know. My youngest godson, Jason, just got a job out.
Thank you.
Nicely done. My youngest godson just got a job out in Seattle. He's going to be moving out there in a couple of months. And I said, and for him, he actually likes this kind of weather. It doesn't bother him at all. I said, Jason, God love you, but there's no way I could live out there.
Oh, my goodness. Same. Danny loves this kind of weather. My husband
really
loves this kind of weather. Yeah, he loves the cloudy days and the rainy days. And I'm like, good for you.
you go with that.
And good for you. And let's stop it as soon as we can. So,
how are your holidays, Kira? Are you going anywhere? Just chill around here.
Well, I actually hosted the holidays for myself. So I hosted my mom and my sister, Heather, and her husband, Chris Pauls, who was on here just a few weeks ago.
He was.
Keeping it in the family. And then Danny's parents, the Bladels from Yuba,
nice.
as well as Chris's parents, the Paulses. Uh-huh. So it was a Richland Center Festival of Fun here in Madison.
What a hostess with the mostest you are. That's fantastic.
I mean, yeah. Ask me if at the end of it, I was like, we're never doing that again. So sometimes you do things to realize you're never going to do them again.
Kira, happy to have the family there. Happy to have the family go home.
And it's not even the family. It was just like the amount of stuff we had to do for that many people.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It absolutely is a lot. Well, that's great. So, good for you. I got to see a little bit over the holidays. I was home with COVID most of the holidays, but you and my lovely and talented sister, Heather Galloy, you were team never going to quiz you up for the Those Were the Days Triviathon on WRCL right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And you were so kind as to invite me, and I joined about halfway through the night. But never going to quiz you up with Kira Sabin and Heather Galloy. There you go.
That's right.
Little Rick Astley there.
Listen.
You came in second. Second. Of all the teams. Congratulations.
I think I have been doing the Triviathon since it started in like 1988. I would have been a freshman in 1988. Mm-hmm. And I have done it many of the years. So this was like coming in second felt like a grand success. I mean, literally 30 years later, I was so excited. And you know, when people are like, you just got Rickrolled. And I'm like, you talk like that's a bad thing. I love Rick Astley. Bring it on.
Yeah,
bring it on.
I have to chime in. I agree. I just think that's a good song.
It is a great song.
I do too.
Yeah, we're all in agreement.
100%. Like, I remember when people are like, oh, have you seen the whole Rickrolled Rick Astley? I was like, why is everybody keep talking about like that's a bad thing? Please send me to Rick Astley videos all day.
More, please. Well, congratulations. No, great job. And I think Those Were the Days Triviathon here on the Civic Media Radio Network was a great success because of Civic Media's reach now. Through the app, you know, we were on three different locations, my sister, Eau Claire, and you and I at different places here in Madison, able to play together. So that was a great thing. Speaking of the new year, a lot of people, I'm not sure about you, Kira, but other people will set New Year's resolutions, New Year's goals. It's a brand new year. We think it's a fresh start. But I think the problem for a lot of people is you feel great. And I had a personal trainer for about 4 years back when I was making some pretty good money. And they always used to tell me, oh, geez, you know, we always get a lot of, we're thankful for it. But, you know, we get all these people that come in and try to do weight loss or other things in January. And then by mid-February, the place clears out and is back to normal levels. When I started training and trying to lose weight in October, for my birthday, and it was fine, it was good. But I think a lot of people start at the first of the year, and then it comes down to how do I keep myself motivated? And then if we have a partner or a significant other or just a friend who've set goals, how do we help them stay motivated? And that is our subject this morning.
It sure is. I mean, this is what the way I feel about resolutions. I don't kind of think new year, new me. I don't need to be a new me. I'm not real. I'm into lifelong, like,
yes,
doing the best I can every single day. So I'm not a huge fan of resolutions at this point, partially just because a lot of people try and then we don't set ourselves up for success. And when we don't succeed, we just feel worse.
Right.
So I'm not really into anything that makes us feel worse. We already have a weird life that we live, right? So that's filled with lots of weird things. So I'm into setting myself or my clients up for success in every single thing that we do.
Sure.
Like, you know, and if we think about it, there are things that we are really good at. I'm really good at eating chocolate every single day, right? Right. I am like at 100% of that habit. So like, you know, there are things that I easily do every single day. Don't even think about it. And then there's other things that I don't really stick to. Mm. Right. And the coolest thing about that, Todd, is I am here today to teach you, to teach Aaron, to teach the audience why the heck that is.
We are an open book. We are a clean slate, a white piece of paper. Teach us, O wise one.
I mean, so one of the greatest things about the last 15 years of me doing this is all the cool research that keeps coming out that wasn't around when we were kids, right? There's been a lot of research in psychology and then also in positive psychology over the last 20 to 25 years that's really kind of mind-blowing, and a lot of us don't know about it. So when I heard about this, and I teach this in my program, today we're going to talk about motivation, and there's two types of motivation, and we're going to play a little game, Todd.
Lay it on.
Aaron, yeah, and you can play too. So I'm going to read to you the definitions of two types of motivation, and you are going to tell me which one you think people stick to more.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So the first motivation is called extrinsic motivation.
Okay.
Now, Extrinsic motivation is driven by external rewards. They can be tangible, such as like money or grades, or intangible, such as like praise or fame.
Okay.
And you engage in that behavior, not necessarily because you enjoy it or you find it satisfying, but because you expect to get something in return,
right,
or avoid something unpleasant, right? Yes, yes. So that might be, for example, you do something at your job that you don't like, but you do it because you get paid for it.
Right.
Right. So that's the first one, extrinsic motivation. The second motivation is intrinsic motivation. An intrinsic motivation is when you engage in behavior because you find it rewarding. You perform an activity for its own sake rather than for the desire of something outside of yourself because the behavior itself is its own reward. And we enjoy it as an activity and we see it as an opportunity to explore, to learn, to be curious. So which do you think out of those two motivations, extrinsic or intrinsic, helps people stick to their goals better?
Aaron, go ahead. I'll go second on this. What do you think?
Okay. I'm going to go intrinsic because extrinsic, I think, is easy to fake. And you can say, all right, if I do this, I will eat a piece of chocolate later because I finished my work. And you're like, well, I can just do that anyway.
I mean, I've been doing that every day, Aaron, for years. So yes, Todd, what do you think?
In general, I think it's a little bit divided because everybody is different. For me personally, it's a no-brainer. It's intrinsic because my entire life, or most of my entire life, I'm just not someone who's motivated by money, much to my parents and family's chagrin. Even back when I was like a kid, my mom would say, look, you know, if you don't clean your room, I'm not going to give you your $2 allowance or whatever. I'd be like, okay. You know, it was like, I just didn't care. I didn't care about the money part of it. Right. I mean, I do. I'm a person who likes fine things and nice things. I like to have money for those. But it's like, if you tell me that you're just going to pay me something or withhold something, I'm much less likely to do it than if I buy in and say, and that's why one of the reasons I came back to radio is that I enjoy helping people understand. I enjoy getting a message out there. I enjoy uplifting and doing things for others. That's what inspires me.
Well, I have really good news because you both are correct.
Wow.
Way to go. And I'll be honest. What I was going to say, give me some ding, 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 ding over there.
Very good.
There we go. And the thing is, Todd, you said it's different, but it's actually not. And
really?
What they have found out is that intrinsic motivation, hands down, is what helps people not only set their goals, but stick to their goals, right? Have you ever kind of thought about like, my heart's not in it, right? That means that externally we're motivated and we are not in it enough to really make it stick.
Well, this is fascinating.
Oh, to me, Kira, I've got so many thoughts about it.
Because like, I mean, you say it's extra or intrinsic is pretty much everybody, but I won't say the name of the place I worked. I was working at a place and my main manager, we did this activity on extrinsic and intrinsic and what motivates us. And she went first and she said, what motivates me is to see my name up in lights or my store's name up in lights. And I was literally the next person and I said, well, like what motivates me is like helping a blind person pick out shoes, describing it and making sure they get the right shoes. And it couldn't have been more like opposite. But I mean, she was being honest. Like she really is motivated by those things. So are you saying that's like a false motivation or what?
What I'm saying is it's not a long lasting motivation.
Okay, that's
good. That's at some point she's going to have to find something personally fulfilling and personally exciting for her to want to stick to this and not have it become dull or mandatory.
Right.
When we do something for an external reward from other people, like our bosses, our coworkers, our parents, our spouses, our friends, we just don't stick with it. And if we do, it becomes mandatory and dull and terrible, right? We don't like it. We don't enjoy it. And that's why we get burned out.
And also, not that I have been, I'm very thankful I don't have that kind of an addictive personality, but I've heard from people who are, it almost becomes like a drug, right? I mean, just seeing your name up in lights is one thing, and then pretty soon it has to be more and more. It takes a greater reward to get the same feeling.
Absolutely. And it becomes an empty feeling after a while.
Right.
Right. I think that we've seen kind of celebrity and things like that, you know, even with their own podcasts and over the last couple of years, we're kind of getting more really in-depth insight into celebrities' lives or actors' lives. And most of them say the fame is not what it's cracked up to be.
Hang on, Kira. Back after this, I have to take a break on the Todd Allball Show. More with Kira Sabin on the other side of the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little Eye of the Tiger. Played that back when Lauren Jensen was our band teacher back in high school for halftime show. Eye of the Tiger for Rocky. And we are pumping up our mental health today. Our overall esteem with our life coach taking us to it. Tell us what we have to do. Kira Sabin, positivity psychologist, life coach, wonderful person extraordinaire, and love guru to the stars. Joins us.
Who are the stars? Do we mean the actual stars in the sky? Yes, I do talk to them regularly. I don't know so much about celebrities, but you know, hey.
It's the DL work that Kira's doing and she doesn't talk about. You know that she's really doing great work when she can't talk about it. I'm helping someone, but I can't talk about it.
We'll just keep it there.
Exactly. She is talking about extrinsic versus extrinsic and motivation in our life. Asking Aaron and I assume, Kira, we never really asked you, but I assume you kind of get motivated by the same type of intrinsic motivation. Is that true?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm truly the type of person that if it is not personally rewarding to me, I really have a hard time making myself do it.
Right.
I really do. And that includes, you know, in jobs that I had before this and other parts of my life, that if I don't find it, if it doesn't make me curious, if I don't enjoy it, if it's not fun or passionate or some level of growth, it's very hard for me to make that a long-term commitment. I mean, right. We all kind of suck it up. There's things in my job that I don't, or my business that I don't love and I have to do, but ultimately it's mostly filled with things that I'm excited about or otherwise it'd be really hard to keep it going.
So give us a few examples, if you're so very kind, of both of these types of things that people use and encounter. And let me make clear, I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, holier than thou or I'm all pure. I do enjoy getting paid. I do enjoy earning money and having money to pay my bills. And yes, I mean, I enjoy traveling when I can and when I can afford it. And I'm certainly someone who enjoys finer made things. Like if I'm looking for furniture, I haven't in several years, but if I go into a furniture store and I don't see the prices and people just say like, well, which one do you like? Or I'm walking through and I'm like, oh, this one's nice. 9 times out of 10, it's the most expensive item in the store. So I have a good eye and a good sense for like finely made things that are expensive. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying on the whole, what motivates me, it's more of what I feel inside.
And really, you're just going to enjoy your job more. You're going to do it better, right?
Right.
You're going to probably do it longer. Like I said, extrinsic, you know, most of us have jobs or of some kind to get paid, or we're getting some kind of a reward system to live, right?
Sure.
But ultimately, this comes down to how enjoyable it is and how long you really stick with it. I think that intrinsic motivation also really leads to burnout.
Right.
Right. When we are not fulfilled in any way, it's really hard to stay excited about something, no matter the money.
Well, and also I think you said this earlier, I want to just touch on it again. You talked about that the longevity of, you know, if you're motivated by extrinsic things like money, that are rewards that eventually has to get bigger and just gets exhausting, where intrinsic is feeding your soul, right? So I think about people like musicians or artists who work well into their 70s, 80s, even early 90s because they love it, people who are teachers who might retire in their 60s, but they're still going back and subbing, or they're working at community colleges or whatnot because they simply love to teach people. I think those are examples of people who are truly motivated by intrinsic things because it's part of it feeds their soul.
Absolutely. And I just think that if we look, you know, kind of across the board at success, you're going to find that the people who have truly done best, and not only done best, but are most successful, but also seem to be happier, it's because they are intrinsically motivated. They are passionate about what they're doing. They are excited. They are, you know, I love learning about this stuff every single day. And then, you know, and the second part is I love teaching this to other people. Those things always keep me going, and it keeps me going during tougher months. It keeps me going when it's frustrating or overwhelming. And that's the thing. It's just not about liking nice things, which, you know, I like nice things too, Todd.
We all do.
A lot, right?
Right.
A lot.
Kara enjoys a nice beverage on a beach. We're not going to lie about that.
Oh, I mean, I got married in Mexico. I was like, I don't want to get married in Wisconsin. Why do that? Let's get married in Mexico because it's fun and easy and we can be on a beach. But yeah, this is just, you know, it's really about why we stick things in and why we don't. And I do want to give a couple examples so that people can kind of, you know, see it a little bit easier because sometimes this is hard to wrap our head around, right? So something like studying. And I do want to just quickly point out that most of the time what we learned growing up, Todd, was extrinsic.
Right.
Right? We didn't learn to learn. Mm-hmm. We learned because we had to get certain grades so that you could either then graduate or, you know, go on to college or tech school or someplace else. There's unfortunately not a lot of intrinsic motivation teaching when we're kids.
Sure.
You do things because you have to, or to avoid punishment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, I remember when I started learning this information, psychology and the positive, I was like, I love learning this. And I realized it was the first time in my life that I actually loved learning.
And it goes back to pursue things that you want to do, right? It goes back to how kids are counseled in middle school and high school. You know, going to college is not the right thing for everyone. Going into the family business is not the right thing for everyone. And it goes back to following your passion. And I think that too often we don't counsel young people on following their passion.
Absolutely. You know, learning what you're good at and what you love, you know, at an earlier age, if possible, you know, and I couldn't agree more. And so I think it's very easy to fall into the extrinsic motivation when we're adults, because that's kind of what we had to do when we were kids.
Right. I know people told their kids, you know, well, you don't do that. You know, you need to do this because you'll make better money. When you come out, you're gonna, you know, it's all about getting the job to make the money. And believe me, as someone who has not made money, I mean, I've had times I've been paid well. I've had times when I'm literally going through my change on my dresser to see if I can have enough money. And so, I mean, believe me, having money to pay your bills and the basic necessities is a lot nicer. But I think the point is, don't try to go after something where you're going to make huge money if you don't love it.
Right. Because you will either A, burn out, B, resent it after a while, right? You know, I think that as we get older, and this is, you know, a bit of a privileged thought, but as we get older, there is a point where maybe things that I would be motivated by money when I'm younger, I'm like, I'm not willing to give up the time for that, or I'm not willing to give up the energy for that anymore.
So
there's just things I'm willing to do and not do because I need to be passionate about it.
So any other examples of intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation in life?
Absolutely. So studying to get a good grade, that is extrinsic. Mm-hmm. Studying because you are fascinated by a topic, that is intrinsic.
Okay.
Do you see the difference there? And
absolutely,
like, which one's going to probably get you further?
Right. If you're interested in it, you're going to keep with it.
Can I ask a difficult question though?
Go ahead.
Yes.
What about when you have to do things for extrinsic motivation? Like, you still have to study to get good grades so you can pass high school. Or let's say you're in a difficult economic situation and the job you have is barely paying the bills, and looking for something that you're more passionate about would put you in a bad spot. Maybe you're supporting your family by yourself or something.
Mm-hmm.
this is, so once again, this is really about goals. This is really about long-term. I think we all have to do things sometimes short-term for survival.
Right.
Right. Sometimes life shows up. So have I, right? Like
driving Uber, which turned out to be a lot more fun than I thought it would be. But I was in a situation where my first coffee shop failed. I had to do something and I ended up driving Uber.
I wish I would have loved you as an Uber driver. That would have been a delight.
A lot of great stories for another time, but it turned out to be a kind of a cool job.
So once again, we have to do things a lot, but ultimately, especially for stuff in our free time, you know, like our goals and our motivation, maybe it's our hobbies, maybe it's our health, whatever it is, why we stick to it is how we see it and what we're motivated by. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you know, taking the job that pays well and then taking a job that is fulfilling. And sometimes they're not hugely different. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's kind of beat into our heads, as you said, Todd, that boy, definitely take the one that pays more, even if it's not really going to be fulfilling, right? Like that's, right. You know, always, you know, a lot in our society, it's follow the money. And that's not always helpful, right?
Right.
Not everybody gets to make that decision either. I don't want to say that they do.
And to Aaron's point, I think that, as you said, then there are times in our life when for the short term, we have to do things we might not always love or appreciate, but it's that long-term goal. How do I use this to get me there?
Exactly. And if you're following curiosity, if you're following passion, if you're following purpose, it's going to take you long, or you're going to get there. You're going to get farther. You're probably going to be more successful. You're probably going to ultimately end up making more money because you're just going to show up in a different way.
And that kind of, I don't want to jump too far ahead because we're going to get to this at the end, but gratitude, right? I mean, when I was driving Uber, I didn't necessarily like every single ride or like the hours or everything. But I said, you know what? At least I have money to pay to buy food. At least I'm thankful that this opportunity gives me this. And then, so we'll talk about gratitude at the end. But I think that's part of it.
And I think that we can even move it up right now that just recently I was listening to Jan Sabin was actually in town and for Christmas. And we were listening to a podcast. And the podcast was about that they found that the best way to stick to your New Year's resolutions, or one really helpful way, is to be grateful.
Sure.
Because when you can appreciate all the things that you have, it helps you to look at your goal as more obtainable.
Right.
Because you're like, wait, well, I already have a place to live and I already have food on the table and I already have a car maybe in the driveway, or I have this or that or this or that. So if I've gotten all of those things, what else can I do? Right? That gratitude helps us see the path, or helps us see that things are obtainable, where if we live in that space in our head, that negative space that, by the way, is going to automatically exist there, as we kind of talked last time I came here, like two times ago, when we can look at it and know that our mind goes to the negative and bring in those positive things, it makes things seem a little bit easier. And it just ups our motivation.
100%. Other examples you want to share with extrinsic?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
Sure. So I know this is a big one now for a lot of us, posting on social media. So extrinsically posting on social media for likes or for comments or for people to kind of, you know, see you or give you credit, versus posting on social media to share something that's important to you, or share a celebration because you want your friends and family to know about it.
This is so good, Kira. This is so good because this is what I hate about social media, is that people post on there and you even find yourself sometimes, or I do once in a while, oh, that didn't get as many hits or likes as I wanted. People don't like me or whatever. And it's like, Todd, it is social freaking media. That's it. You know, I mean, it's not the real world. And you get friends that are just, you know, they're posting stuff on there to get likes. And you're 100% right, Kira. If you're going to post something, do it because you want to share it. That's it.
Right. Absolutely. It's a little different for me because I use social media for my business. So I am sometimes looking at likes because I'm like, okay, what are people responding to? What are people resonating with? What are they not? But I had to get out of my own head about that stuff a long time ago, or I was going to lose it. Right? If I'm actually worried, if somebody likes a post or doesn't like it or unfollows me.
Right.
Man, I just, you know, there's a part of me a while ago that posted, and it's been there now for years. What you're doing is bigger than you, bigger than your ego, bigger than you know, my butt being hurt by somebody's like comments, you know, like it just, it's bigger than that. And it's just so important for us to look at not what we do, but why we do it. Right. And if that's helpful and healthy.
Absolutely agree. 100%. About a minute left, Kira. Anything you want to get to before the break here?
Absolutely. Example? One of my favorite things to not be motivated about, which is like movement and exercise, the extrinsic is we're doing it for a spouse, we're doing it for somebody else, or to maybe, you know, hit a goal or reward, instead of doing it just because it feels good.
Hold that thought, Kira. Back with more Kira Sabin on the Todd Allbowles Show, the Civic Media Radio Network after this. Back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. About 7.5 minutes to go with the wonderful and talented Kira Sabin, positive psychology and life coach. Wonderful person extraordinaire. Kira, we're talking about extrinsic versus intrinsic motivation, what motivates us into the new year, how we keep our goals consistent, how we achieve our goals. Before we move on to actually how we increase intrinsic motivation, do you want to share any other examples or just move into how we motivate?
Let's move into how we get there. How do we start adding more intrinsic motivation in?
Let's do it. The floor is yours, as they say.
The floor is mine. So the very first thing that I want everybody to ask themselves is, what's your deepest why? Why are you doing this? Like I said right before the break, it's not what you're doing, but why are you doing this? If you have a goal, right, whether it is to read more or watch less TV or exercise more or whatever it is, why? Because if we don't know why, and we don't actually think or see the reasoning of good and helpful and, like I said, passionate or exciting or those kind of things, we will not stick to it. Why would we?
Why? Exactly. Why would we indeed?
And I love it. I can also share it with you, Todd. I actually have a worksheet that I give my clients that's called Find Your Deepest Why. And it starts with what I want. Mm-hmm. And then the next question you ask is, what about that is important to me? And you keep asking that question until you get to your deepest why.
That's really good. Yeah, well, if you could share that with us so we could throw it up on our website and share it with others, that'd be very cool.
Absolutely. I'll send it to you right after this.
You're fantastic.
So why are you doing this? Next, what about it makes it so important to you? Right? That you are going to add this into your day or your week, right? Like, what's so important that you're going to change what you're doing that you're already doing to get to this goal?
Sure.
And it can't just be, we don't wake up on New Year's and say, yeah, I think I'm going to do this and this and this this year, right? No, like we have to have like, man, if I don't do this, like things might not feel as good or be as good in my life, right? Like we used to, we have to have a little bit of a push.
Right, right. No, I think when I started getting a personal trainer and working out more, yes, it was about losing a little bit of weight and kind of toning up, but it was more about my overall health. I just turned, I think, 42, and my doctor said, you know, lose 10, 11 pounds and get out and walk more. And so I think it was just more for me about my personal, physical, and mental health. I was just kind of like a little bit depressed and thought, I want to do this for me. I want to feel better. And that's ultimately what inspired me to stick to it.
Absolutely. And then the next thing, which is, you know, and I will use the example of exercise and movement because I think that's a big resolution for a lot of people, including myself. You know, then you ask, how do you make it fun?
Right.
How do you make it fun? How do you make it fulfilling so you feel great after doing it? And I think that all of us maybe know one or two things that we like to do that are going to be way more fun for exercise for us personally than other things. Like, I'm not going to run unless there's zombies chasing me, right? I'm just not going to do it.
I think,
right? Like,
right. No, and I think there's, I know a lot of people that either are, well, we're halfway past January, but we're trying to dry January. I know some people that do dry February where they give up alcohol and then it becomes like, okay, I'm going to do this for a month. But then to your point, how do I make this fun? And I think it's a good barometer for each of us to say, okay, is do I need to drink to have fun? I personally don't. I can be with my friends to hang out and have as much fun without drinking as when I do take a drink. I mean, I enjoy a nice beverage now and again. But I think for those who are looking to do a dry February or take some time off of alcohol, how do you make that fun?
I mean, absolutely. Because the more that you do enjoy it, the more you're going to do it.
Sure.
So, like I said, I'm going to run only from probably zombies. But I love, you know, I love, I have a Peloton bike. And that actually is something I enjoy doing. I don't know if it's just because I, it reminds me of riding my bike to the pool every day when I was a kid and stopping at the Dario to get candy or ice cream on the way home. Little shout out for my Richland Center friends. But that's something I actually enjoy doing, right? Nice. If you don't enjoy doing it, you're not going to continue doing it. I mean, I know that that's not rocket science, but we kind of forget.
Yeah.
But we kind of forget. And then the other thing is just really looking at your long-term goals. Are they are they realistic? Have you like done something that not even like the most disciplined person in the world could do? Have you set the, you know, right. Have you created something that, and I like to, instead of take things away, add things in. So instead of saying I'm going to eat better or I'm going to take away chocolate or this or that, I'll be like, I'm just going to make sure I get more vegetables in my day. So if I start right now, I'm going to try to get two more servings of vegetables.
Sure.
They've proven that the more like adding versus subtracting is always going to help you stay motivated longer.
That's really good. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, because it's easier to say I'm going to give myself a reward. Maybe vegetables aren't a direct reward, but it helps your overall health. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just going to be one of those things where I think that a part of us, that unfair piece, like, you can't take that away from me, even if it's ourselves doing it, right? Like, no, you can't take it away. But there's something more powerful about like, okay, I'm still going to eat what I'm going to eat, but I'm just going to throw in some more vegetables. So it balances it out a little bit more.
About a minute left, Kira. Any other motivation factors or gratitude, the last one?
Gratitude makes your world better, period. So take a minute a day to do it. But the last thing I just want to say is, don't set goals if you're just going to end up beating yourself up afterwards,
right?
Look at your whys. Look at why you're not where you want to be. Get support. Get help around that if it's bigger or more overwhelming than you can do by yourself. But nothing is helpful if you just end up feeling bad afterwards.
Right. I set the goal, but I didn't make it. I'm a bad person. You don't want
that. Right. No, I'd rather people not set goals than to just end up feeling terrible afterwards for not completing them. I would rather them just, you know, work on their daily, like, what makes me feel good.
Kira Sabin, life coach and positivity psychologist extraordinaire. You're wonderful, as always. You always make me feel better. I know you help our listeners feel better as well. Thank you so much for your time today. And we're going to see you in a couple of weeks on a Thursday if everything works out.
Yes. I'll be in Costa Rica soon, though. So,
Costa Rica. Trigvi Olsen, our other guest, recurring guest, he's going to Belize. You're going to Costa Rica. What's up? Maybe we should take the show to Central America.
Yeah, let's figure that out. we can start planning after this.
You guys can do it from our private villa down there. I'm running some retreats.
Oh, you're amazing. See, she's helping people every day. Kira, thank you for helping us stay motivated. Thank you for these great tips, and you have a wonderful time for your weekend coming up.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kira. That's Kira Sabin, life coach and positivity psychologist. We appreciate her being here. Appreciate Jason Hafman as well and Mr. Eric Zommers. And you for listening. See you tomorrow on the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.